Thank you. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the 38th chapter. We're going to be dealing with the entire chapter, but I'm going to just read the first verse to get us started. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word and you would penetrate our hearts. Father, each of us needs a message from you. I ask, Father, that you would make it personal, you would apply it to us, and you would change us by it. And Father, for those that do not know Jesus, that they would come to know you this very day. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Now in the 37th chapter, as we studied together, we came across Hezekiah having a lot of problems. Now he was a believer, but he still had trouble. If you are a believer, you will still have trouble. It rains on the just and the unjust, and the Bible is very clear on that. And just as things could not possibly get any worse, they did. So Hezekiah had his difficulties. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it seems as you look at people across our church, maybe as you look at people in your life, some people seem to have more problems than other people. Now, it's just a truth. Now, some of you think that's you, and it may well be, but it just seems that sometimes certain people go through a lot of things, and then they go through a lot of things, and then they go through a lot of things. Hezekiah went through a lot of things. He went through difficulty upon difficulty. Things got bad, things got worse, and then he lived happily ever after. No, he didn't. Hezekiah got sick. Now, this is not just a little cold. He got really sick, and the Bible says sick unto death. You know, people talk about timing of deaths. A lot of people say death comes in threes. And I may have said that at one point in time, but as I've watched things across the years, let me tell you a truth about death. It comes. People say death comes in threes, and they go, one, two, three. You know, it's that relief that, oh, there, we got our three in, we're good for a while now. No, people just die. All people die. They die regularly. They die in all ages. It is part of the reality of life that people die. Former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said to the New York Times, "There can't be a crisis next week. My schedule's full." There are problems that come into our lives. To ignore it is to fool ourselves. To everyone's life, there are difficulties. And because there are difficulties in everybody's life, and when you get through with some, there are still others. If you are going to learn to be happy in this life, you're going to have to learn to be happy even when things aren't right. You're going to have to learn to be happy even when it's raining on you. So here's Hezekiah. He's sick. Not a simple virus. He is very ill. Every Wednesday night we join together. We have the privilege of sharing together and praying together. And most of the time we are praying for people that have sickness. And most of the time there are some people that are sick unto death. Right at this moment there are individuals in this very room that are going through great sickness. I am so sorry. If I could take it from you, I certainly would. But that's not something I can do. It is way, way, way above my pay grade. Well, there are difficulties that come and there are illnesses that come. And many believe Hezekiah had a severe illness, possibly cancer. Far too often, our Northside family is shaken because our own members face that same diagnosis, and it's a terrible thing to hear and a terrible process to go through. What do you do when sickness comes? Let me tell you the first thing you need to do when sickness comes. Now, yes, you need to pray, but you need to realize you need help. Did you get that? You know, a lot of us have this idea that we're going to be okay. Everybody else needs to get help. If you don't realize you have a problem, you will never try to fix that problem. And if you never try to fix that problem, you're going to find that problem will overcome you. I don't know how many times I've heard people go to a doctor and hear, "You should have come sooner." Now, in today's world, sometimes it's because you can't get into the doctor that you didn't come sooner. But you should have it in you. If there is something going on in your life that is out of the norm, something going on in your life that keeps you from being the person you should be and the Christian you should be and following God as you should, reach out and try to get some help. It is not a sign of weakness. It may be a sign of wisdom. Sometimes illness will come and it will hit you. And the first thing you need to know is, there's a problem. Where can I find help? Now move immediately from that to where Hezekiah moved. We see Hezekiah's prayerful engagement. He moved to prayer. In 38:1, in those days, Hezekiah was sickened to death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him. Here is Hezekiah. He is sick, and Isaiah comes to him. Now, I don't know how Isaiah came. In that day, of course, with royalty, you just didn't kind of walk in. It might be that Hezekiah summons him. And it might be that Isaiah just had God put it on his heart and he knew he had to go to him. In either case, Hezekiah was happy to listen to what Isaiah had to say because Isaiah brought a word from the Lord. One of the great tragedies of our day is men and women finally get in church seeking God's will, seeking a word from God, seeking some kind of word that's going to mean something to them and change their lives. And yet, that church has moved away from the word of God. They don't proclaim the word of God. And as a result, that person does not hear the word of God. Oftentimes today, people will hear, "You're good, we're good, we're all good, isn't it great, everybody's good." Then they'll get a music concert probably before that, and they'll all go home. Today, churches are getting away from Bible preaching, and that is a bad move. It is an ungodly move. A pulpit that does not proclaim the inerrant, holy word of God is a deceptive place which will not bless men nor God. In God's word, you're going to find help. You need to be looking to God's word. Talking with a friend just a moment ago that shared with me that the way they had dealt with the great difficulties in their life is getting up every morning and getting in the word. In the word, you hear verses like Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's got me covered. He's going to take care of me." In that same chapter, you hear, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me." The truth that even in the face of death, God will not leave us. He is right there. Or how about this? Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Bring things to him and leave them with him. Psalms 103:2, God is the healer of our diseases. Philippians 4:6-7, all you worriers, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Hezekiah has a chance to hear from the man of God who speaks the word of God, but what he hears is not what he wanted to hear. What he hears is not exactly comforting. Isaiah said, thus says the Lord, get your house in order, you are going to die. Now he wanted to be clear. You're going to die and not live. That's pretty clear. No one would want to hear that. You know, Isaiah was not exactly the type of preacher that some people are today with all the do good, feel good, everything's good kind of thing, the name it, claim it guys. Some today just say what people want to hear. Well, that wasn't Isaiah. And if you preach the Bible, some of it's going to be what you don't want to hear. That doesn't mean that you don't need to hear it. His message, you're going to die. Now, this is different. We've heard this kind of thing in other places in the Bible. Job's wife dealt with her husband. Job was beat down, had a difficult time. Everything was upon him. He had lost everything. Everything was horrible. Instead of giving him some strength, instead of being the wife he could rely on, what did she say? Curse God and die. Well, she spoke in anger and in sin. Isaiah speaks from a heart of love and concern. She told Job what to do. Isaiah told Hezekiah what was going to happen by God. Her message came from her. His message came from God. You know, I learned really early in my ministry to be very careful about talking about people's life and death. I had a situation very early. I didn't know anything about ministry, really. I was a young preacher in a church, and I was called to the hospital. Called to the hospital to see a man that was not a member of our church, but some of his family members were, and going to be with them. He was having a very difficult time. He had heart difficulties. Early in the morning, very early in the morning, a doctor comes out of the room. And I was with a family, and he said, I'm sorry, he's not going to get any better. He's going to die. Well, the family breaks down. It was a tough moment. And then the doctor turned to me, first church, this is my first real hospital visit, and said, you've got to go tell him. Excuse me? You need to go tell him that he's not going to get any better. He's going to die. Well, what did I know? This is a doctor. I'm just a little preacher. And so I go in the room and I talk to the man. And I break the news. I tell him what the doctor said. And I try to give him comfort. I tell him God is there for him. I prayed with him and all those things. And then I left. Well, there was a little problem. He didn't die. Now, I don't know about today, but he didn't die then. I remained in that area for about 3 years, and every time I saw him, he said, yeah, you're that preacher boy that told me I was going to die. So I'm careful about telling people about living and dying. Isaiah delivered God's word. And that's really the difference. It was serious. And Hezekiah needed to put his life in order. By the way, just so you know, I don't want you to get out of here without knowing this, you're going to die. You need to put your life in order. We will not get off this planet alive unless Jesus returns, and the mortality rate is 100% right now. Hezekiah needed to hear what Isaiah had to tell him. Listen, people need to hear a clear word from God. People need to know that they need a Savior. People need to know that they are sinners. They won't like that, but they need to know that it is a truth. They are told that they are sinners by a sinner. And so we need to give that word. If they die in their sins, they will go to hell. That is real. That is true. That is God's word. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. You must receive him as your Savior and Lord. That is the only way you can be forgiven of your sin, so that you might die in Jesus instead of dying in your sin. Now, Hezekiah reached out to God in prayer. Verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He had heard God's word, and now he needed to pray. He needed to get alone with God, and so he turned away from everybody in the room, and he got alone with God. A little private time is what he needed. So Hezekiah prayed. This prayer was more than what man could do. He had a terminal illness described by God, and he was going to die. The only one he could turn to was God himself. And he had a relationship with God because he was a believer, and so he pours out his heart to God. And may I tell you, if you can go to God, there is always hope. So we see Hezekiah's personal evaluation. Hezekiah evaluated his life as he prayed to the Lord. Hezekiah is still a young man. He's in his 30s. May I tell you, nobody wants to die in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. People don't want to die. But he is still a young man. He prayed as somebody who knew God. He trusted in God. He believed in God and that God would do what's right. If you don't know God, if you will not bow down before Jesus for salvation, how can you expect God to come and answer a prayer of yours when something's gone wrong? Hezekiah sought to live for the Lord. Now, he wasn't perfect, but he sought to live for the God. He was not like his ungodly father, Ahaz. Ahaz had brought pagan idols in. He had cleared them all out. He had gotten people back to worship God. Every time a serious matter came into Hezekiah's life, you're going to find him in God's house, and you're going to find him seeking God's word. That is a smart man. A believer should be in God's house, and a believer should be seeking God's word. Don't buy this concept that I can be just as good a Christian, not go to church, and I'll just be fine. No, the Bible says, do not forsake the churching of yourselves together. You can't follow God if you don't follow him to God's house. It's really amazing. Some people have no use for God at all. Get away, boy, you're bothering me. I don't want to hear it, until they have a problem. And when they get in trouble, all of a sudden, they want God. Now, I believe God cares for everyone. I believe God loves everyone. But if you don't know the Lord and you get sick, and you want to pray? How in the world can you pray if you don't even believe there is a God? If you don't believe in Jesus enough to repent of your sins, say, God, I am sorry for what I have done. I ask you to forgive me and save my soul. If you don't believe in him enough to invite him into your heart, how in the world do you believe in him enough to deal with cancer or to deal with death, or to deal with a hardship, or to deal with finances, or anything else. It is not that God is not able, it's that you don't believe. Belief starts with receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Belief starts in that personal belief of turning from sin and turning to Him, of knowing that we are sinners and knowing we need a Savior. My friend, if you will not admit that, if you will not get there, how in the world can you expect God to move in and correct all things in your life when you pray? Isaiah is saying that he's perfect. That's what it says in the text, but I want you to know what he means by that. It means that he has gone before God, he has confessed his sin, he has made sacrifice. Our sacrifice is Jesus. And now he is ready to pray. You see, even Christians can't pray any old time they want to if they have sin in their hearts. The Bible says, if I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so the first thing we need to do is make sure that we've cleaned up, that we've gotten perfect in our heart, that we've been honest with God about our sin. And then when we have that sinectomy, we are ready for the doctors, but not before. Believe in the Lord. Accept the Lord, and then pray to the Lord. Hezekiah did what was good. He cleaned up his life. He cleaned up the nation. He brought the nation back to worship. He followed God's word. He followed God's will. That's what you've got to do. Listen, if you won't do the simple things God has asked you to do, how in the world can you expect God to do the great things you want Him to do? We sin when we do things He doesn't want us to do. Now, the list is long, and everybody's got a different list, but lying, cheating, murder, gossip, worrying, and the list goes on and on. Whenever we do what God has told us not to do, we have all been guilty. We are all sinners. We who sin, we who sin need forgiveness. We also sin when we fail to do what He's told us to do. You know, He has told us to be loving. He has told us to be forgiving of everybody, of everything. Tithing, witnessing, worshiping. God has a list of things He has told you to do. If you won't do the simple stuff, how do you expect God to do the big stuff? Get with God, follow God, walk with God, be forgiven by God, and then pray to God. Hezekiah prays on the basis of his acceptance of the Lord, of his forgiveness by the Lord, and of his cleansing, and of his belief in the Lord. And so he prays. He prays that God would lead him. He prays that God would care for him. So in God's will, he prays and he examines his life. Be honest with God. Examine your life. If you're out of God's will, get back in God's will. If you've never come to meet Jesus, examine your life. Come to meet Jesus. Then Hezekiah's powerful exaltation in verse 19. The living, he shall praise you as I do this day. Hezekiah exalts the Lord in praise. He was told he was going to die. It was going to happen. He prayed it through. And when he prayed it through, God chose to intervene. In verse 5, God says, I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. In other words, he was very genuine. Behold, I will add to your days 15 years. Oh, wow. Now you may say, well, 15 years, that's not very much. Hey, if you're dying today, 15 years is great. God God healed him. Now God healed him. We know that there was a bull, and there was medicine applied to the bull, and God used that medicine in his life, and God healed him. People say that Hezekiah may have had a cancer. He may have had melanoma. I don't know what was wrong with him. I know he was sick unto death. And he used medicine. Well, he didn't believe in God, did he? He used medicine. No, I believe in a God that can make medicine. You see, God can guide you to the medical help you need when you need it. And God can care for you, and God can direct you. It's not a lack of faith, it's trusting God and following God's leadership. God has blessed us by giving us medical help to help us through this old world. Even in Jesus' day, there was medical help around. Paul traveled with a doctor, Dr. Luke. And so he kept a doctor there. It wasn't that he did not believe, it was that he believed God could guide that doctor to help him in times of need. So God not only healed Hezekiah, he delivered Judah from the Assyrians. Hezekiah was healed. He lived 15 more years. But what if he wasn't healed? I am here to tell you that if God had taken him that night, had he just died that day, God would still be God and God would still be in control. Do we want God to heal every single time? I have no problem praying for people to be healed. Now, I'm entering into God's business when I pray for people to be healed. I am expecting God to do with it what he will. If God heals the person here, praise God, we'll rejoice together. But you know what I have found about people that are healed? I have seen many people healed through the years. Most through medical means, but most healed. And you know what I've seen most of those people do? Die. Because they're only healed for a period of time, because on this planet it's appointed unto man once to die. And so you've got to have a faith that not only will deal with you being healed from what you are sick of, but a faith that will take you through death. Because let me tell you this little truth. The only permanent healing for a believer is heaven. When I get to heaven, I am not going to get sick anymore. I will take all my Zyrtec and Claritin and other allergy things, and I will throw them away. I will not need them anymore. As you get older, you take pills, and then you take more pills. You can throw away all the pills, because in heaven, there's no need. In heaven, you don't have to have help walking. In heaven, you don't have to have, you know, strength for being weak. In heaven, all those things are put together, but it is only put together for the person that dies knowing Jesus as their Savior. The ultimate healing. I talked to a friend just 2 weeks ago. I contacted him, letting him know we had been praying for his wife. In fact, we had been praying for months for his wife. And so I sent a message to him and said, just checking in, let you know we're still praying for you. Well, Cynthia Yant was a believer. Cynthia Yant had a stroke, mid-50s. Her husband, Alan Yant, is a dentist. Not one of my favorite things to go to. But Alan and I have developed a friendship, and he's a believer, and so, we stood by them in prayer. And I got the message back that she had gone to heaven. She had gone home. And I texted him that she is finally well. And he said, perfect indeed. and that gave him peace. Not what I said, but that God had made him, her, perfect indeed. For the believer, that is healing. That is the permanent healing. That is the everlasting healing. Nobody can ever take it away. Now, if God heals here, great, that's wonderful. But when we die in Jesus, He has got us forever. And so, healing was applied. Healing was applied for a short time to Hezekiah, and then he would die, and he would have that permanent healing. What do you do when God has healed you? You praise the Lord. When is healing applied to the believer? I mean the permanent healing. When you die, oh no, that's when you get the benefits of it. That's not when it's applied. That moment when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that moment you ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul, at that moment you are healed eternally. It may take you a while to get there, but it is applied to your life and it will be yours forever and forever and can never be taken away because you didn't earn it. You can't do anything to get it. You just receive it and Jesus applies it. Now, earlier I told you the same truth that Isaiah told Hezekiah. You will die. Put your house in order. Now, for different people, that means different things. But if you don't know Jesus, you will die. And the only thing you can do to really get your house in order is to get your heart with Jesus. And so I plead with you today. If you believe Jesus is God, if you believe that He died on a cross for your sins, if you believe those things, if you believe that God raised Him from the dead, then you believe everything that's necessary to come to Jesus. What do you need to do? Come to Jesus. You need to believe in your heart and you need to ask God to save your soul, and He will do it. Now, what if I've done too much? I've been too bad. The blood of Jesus is greater than whatever you've done in your life. If He can save me, He can save you. I ask you to come and be saved. Just come and tell me or tell T.O. or whoever's up here, I want Jesus. If you sincerely come in faith wanting Jesus, you will have Jesus this very day. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank You for the testimony of Hezekiah. I thank You, God, for how You have brought the gospel through him. I thank You, Father, for how You spared him for a time. And Father, but mainly how You spared him for an eternity because of faith. Father, there are believers in this room, and I thank You for each of them. And Father, we have the peace of knowing if we were to die today, we would spend eternity with Jesus. We would be healed forever. But Father, perhaps we're not following You as we should. Perhaps there's areas of our lives that need to be straightened out. Perhaps we need to get some sin out of our life that we might follow You better day by day. Father, I pray that those moves would be made. And Lord, for those that are here that do not know You, this is the moment. This day, this moment has been prepared for them. Let them know they have a chance. Let them step out, just say, I want Jesus. Let them believe, Father, and let Jesus save their soul this very moment. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?